Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This one day and you notice, hey, there's cracks on the walls. Or hey, those floors are like sinking or sloping just a little bit. That could be signs of a foundation problem. And if you have a foundation problem, you have a serious problem. And you need to get in touch with Redeemers Group, a local company that's been serving Memphis and the Mid-South for more than a decade that offers complete and permanent solutions at an affordable price. At Redeemers Group, they handle foundation repair, crawl space repair, basement waterproofing, concrete leveling. All you got to do is call them at 541-8765, and they're going to send an expert out to your house, no cost. They'll come out, size up the situation, give you an estimate. At that point, you can decide exactly what you want to do. If you want to proceed with the project, mention my name, Jeff Calkins, and you'll get an additional $50 off. If you don't want to proceed for whatever reason, just say, hey, no thanks, and you do not owe them a penny. So there's literally no downside in calling. But there could be a big downside in waiting. So call Redeemers Group at 541-8765, 541-8765, or on the web, redeemersgroup.com. Chris Harrington just wandered into studio. Let's do that.
Now, it's Chris Harrington at 10 on the Grizzlies, Memphis, the NBA, and more. Chris Harrington on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, he's in studio. What are we listening to?
That is Rockaway Beach by the Ramones. I believe that my summer travels are over and yours are as well. But we can at least, you know, travel in our mind with my favorite summer travel.
You know, sadly,
mine aren't quite over.
I still have one more.
All right.
One more little one. But
sorry,
yeah.
I was guessing.
Pretty much. Yeah, I'm sorry, Jeffrey. I hate to report that. It's the endless summer. You play endless summer instead. So you've been where? Where have you been?
I've just been to Minnesota recently.
But you also went to the beach?
I went to Charleston. That was my first trip. Uh-huh. That was my wife's work trip, but not for me. I went to Charleston, then I went to Cape San Blas, which is along 30A, but it's further east than, you know, the Destin Rosemary Beach area where a lot of Memphians go. And then most recently was Minnesota, which is an annual family trip we do.
We were just discussing it. You don't strike me as a beach type, and yet you always go to the beach. You must like the beach.
This is S of the last 10 years. Like, I think I went to the beach once before I was 30 years old, right?
Right.
And so I was never a beach person, and then we went.
And your wife's from Minnesota, so she can't
be
like
she
a beach
either,
person.
Yeah, she wasn't either, right?
Yeah.
But then we went with the kids, and we were like, okay.
This works,
yeah.
What's the key? Do you get a place right on the ocean? Is there a key?
Yeah, we always get places, rent houses or whatever, where you basically can walk out to the beach. And it's all semi-private. It's not like once we went to Rhode Island with my sister-in-law, because her husband's family had some summer house in Rhode Island, and we went to the beach there. It was some public beach that literally it was like ants. It was like just people everywhere. And that was just not pleasant. And so we go to places there where the beach access is people who are renting houses or whatever, and so it's not that crowded, really.
And is this place that you've been, whatever it was called, is that like a favorite place? But Jeffrey, what's your favorite place?
My parents have a place kind of around where Chris is talking about. It's in Bay County, so it's closer to Panama City than it is to like 38.
Everyone seems to have their own favorite little corner.
Yeah, I mean, we like places that are somewhat secluded. Like, when we go, we don't want to go do stuff. We want to just like go to the beach and go to the pool and like cook our own meals and just sort of hang out. Like, we're not looking to go shopping and mini golfing. And you drink, you lay on the beach, you eat, you sleep. That's about it.
The experience of actually laying on the beach, though? Like, how do you tackle that? It's hot. It's hard to read because it's so bright.
Well, you have an umbrella, so you're in the shade.
You have a big umbrella.
You have a comfortable beach chair. You have an umbrella. You have a cold drink. And you're right on the water, so it's not that hot because you got ocean breeze, man. It's nice.
The umbrella is obviously the key.
Yes.
You need the umbrella.
Yeah, shade.
Okay. On to the Grizzlies.
Like, we're not laying out trying to get tans. Like we would be beat red. You know,
I couldn't quite have imagined that.
Right.
So on to the Memphis Grizzlies. Marcus Smart coming.
No.
Where does this come from? What is? I obviously missed the Marcus Smart.
Well, there was some tweet. It wasn't even a story. It was a tweet from, I don't remember who it was. I'm not trying to disparage whoever tweeted it, but there was some tweet from some national media person about, you know, the Grizzlies and the Nets have contacted the Celtics about sign and trade stuff with Marcus Smart, and so I asked around about that. And my understanding is the Grizzlies did call the Celtics, but they called the Celtics like 3 weeks ago. And it was basically a perfunctory thing. It was like nothing came of it.
It was pre-Kyle Anderson.
Pre-Kyle Anderson, and nothing came of it.
Because that's a little bit difficult to have Marcus Smart and Kyle Anderson.
Yeah. I pointed out Marcus Smart is a career 36% shooter. Not from the three-point line, but from the floor. And so, yeah, Marcus Smart and Kyle Anderson would be like, and it's sort of like a performance art or a science experiment or something. I don't think that's going to happen. But there's no there.
Right.
I mean, and I don't want to like say hard and fast that would never happen because Marcus Smart is still he's unsigned. Who knows, like, you know, what the future holds? But there is not, to my understanding, any kind of active anything on that front.
Right. Okay. I'm sure you've talked about all this because I haven't been able to talk to you about all this. So I may plow over some old.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's take Jared Jackson first of all. He had that first big game.
Right.
And then he's had a series of different sorts of games.
Well, what I would say with that, he's played 5 games. Hopefully he'll play today. It's unclear to me because apparently he had some little minor knee thing in addition to rest. But hopefully he'll play today. But he's played five games in summer league. The first game, he took 13 threes and made 8 of them. I think it's safe to say that's an outlier. the fifth game, it was the second of a back-to-back, 5th in 7 days. It's not like he looked tired. The whole team looked exhausted. And he shot like 1 of 8 and like just you could see it. And
guard play was terrible too.
I feel like that game's an outlier. So let's take the other three. Let's throw away the best and the worst and like what did the other three tell you? I think the other three, if you watch them closely, tell you what the reality is and that like his stat lines weren't off.
Yeah, 10 and 6,
right.
2 blocks.
Whatever,
yeah.
But when you watched him play, what you saw in those 3 games was a guy who was already a high-level defender, already at age 18, a high-level defender, not just with the block shots, everything, a high-level defender.
Diagnosing things, calling things out,
yes.
Seeing things other people didn't
awareness,
see.
Awareness, versatility, jumping out, containing guys on the drive, recovering back to the rim, everything. He's a total defender. He's not as good as he's going to be, but he's already really good.
Right.
So he's a total defender, and on the offensive end, I think what you saw was a guy who has the ability to knock down NBA 3-point shots, can make his free throws, and in terms of creating offense for himself off the drive or in the post, you see the seeds of that, but you also see, A, he has to get stronger physically, and B, he has to get better with the ball. He has a lot of room. He needs to improve in those areas, but you see the seeds of being able to, you can see down the line, he can have a post game. He can have an off-the-dribble game. But he's not a guy who's going to step in opening night and be like, oh, these guys are going to rookie of the year.
They consciously said, we understand you can hit threes. Let's work on your post game and your...
You know, I'm not out there, so I don't know. Maybe. But I also feel like part of that is... I don't know. A, Seldon didn't play in that first game, so that's part of it. But Seldon hadn't played at least one of the other games he played. I think that game was an outlier in a lot of ways because I think you've seen... There's one game I remember, maybe it was his last game that he played, where he's open a lot on those pick and pops and the ball's just not coming out. I think it's hard, like, if you're running a pick and roll with Kobe Simmons and you're popping out, like, I don't know how often you're going to get the ball. So I feel like that first game in terms of his opportunity, not only in terms of his effectiveness, but in terms of his opportunity was probably an outlier.
One of the ways that you said he was not like Kevin Garnett, which is a ridiculous standard, but people were comparing him to Kevin Garnett, is that he's not and probably will never be the passer that Kevin Garnett is. What have you seen from his vision in that respect?
I think it's a little bit like the post game and the off the dribble game in that you've seen some flashes and some seeds that could come. Like, I think he could be a good passer. I don't think he's going to average 5 assists a game like Garnett did.
Right.
But I think I don't think that's necessarily going to be a deficiency throughout his career. I think there's fertile ground to be tilled there.
You said you do not believe he will be rookie of the year. I don't think he's going to put up rookie of the year numbers. That's not the kind of player he is.
I think he's unlikely to be that. But my point is that I don't think opening night it's going to be like this guy's ready to go. That's not going to be the thing.
Are you more heartened and more encouraged than you were on draft night, or is about exactly where you were?
No, my opinion on Jaren Jackson has not changed. I was obviously very high on him. Right. I had him third in the draft. And so my opinion on him has not changed at all, really.
Okay. And how about, we'll get to other Grizzly stuff in a minute, how about other summer league impressions of other guys?
I felt all along that this was a good draft. And so I feel more sort of emboldened in that opinion that I think you will look back and this is a really strong draft. You know, Trae Young looked terrible in Utah, but he's looked better since he's gone along, right?
Yeah.
You know, DeAndre.
Kevin Knox just put up big numbers.
Right. Kevin Knox has looked good. Miles Bridges has looked good. Shea Alexander, Colin Sexton have looked good. Wendell Carter's looked great.
Really good.
Bamba's looked great. Bagley was up and down, then got hurt. Ayton put up 20 and 10 or whatever in one game. He has not been, like, incredible, but he's been productive. And you watch the games, and it's like, this guy's a post player, and they don't, like, he doesn't get the ball in the right positions. And my concern about him, and I thought he was the best player in the draft, but my concern about him is now he's going to a team that doesn't have a point guard. Like, this is a guy you need to post up and have someone who knows how to throw an entry pass and get him the ball. And I don't know, he's going to be watching Devin Booker, like, take contested jumpers, like, all season. But I think you use the talent you see is there as well. And so, to me, a lot of players look good, and there aren't that many who, to me, are red flags. Like, Young was a red flag early, but he looks like maybe not. He's coming around. And Bagley was sort of up and down, but we've only seen him a couple times.
Are they going to regret not taking Wendell Young?
The Grizzlies?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. But my thing with them, as I said, was to me it was a close call, and I lean Jackson because I think they're similar players, but Jackson has a higher ceiling ultimately.
Right.
And we're not going to find that out in summer league. We're not going to find that out this season. The Wendell Carter Jackson thing is who's going to be better 3, 4, 5 years
down
the line.
Who's going to play in the postseason? Like, are you when you're playing a tough postseason team? Are you going to be? That was always one of the questions with Wendell Carter. Is he going to be able to stay on the floor and guard? Right.
And the one thing in terms of my own like rankings or whatever before the draft that I would be tempted to change based on summer league is I had Jackson 3rd, Bagley 4, Carter 5. And now I think, man, I should have just gone with my gut and had Carter, or maybe Carter ahead of Bagley, right? Because I liked Carter's game better, but Bagley's production was so off the charts as a college freshman that I was, even though I had lots of questions about his game, I was so persuaded by the athleticism and the production, even though I thought Carter had a more well-rounded game. That'd be the one thing I'd be tempted
would
to change my mind.
Would you move Bamba up, or would you just have Bamba?
I would move Bamba up at least over Trae Young. I had Carter 5, Young 6, Bamba 7, and Bamba to me has been very impressive. I think he is going. He's a guy who's probably going to lead the NBA in block shots multiple seasons, right? And I don't think he's a stiff offensively. I don't think he's going to be a 20-something point-a-game scorer, but I don't think he's a stiff offensively at all either. I think he's going to be good.
It is funny. It is, quote-unquote, just summer league, and that's absolutely true. But we have learned things about players in summer league before. Not Russ Smith, right? But
well, I remember
Z-Bo came in his first year. He was destroying people in summer league.
My favorite, so at some point in the last few weeks on Twitter, there were some Grizzlies fans who were doing, what's the greatest Grizzlies summer league memories? And it was, you know, the summer of Josh Selby, and it was the Russ Smith at the game winner, and I responded, you know, Rudy Gay dunking over E.G. Leon. But then I came back and said, my actual favorite Grizzlies summer league moment, there was a game, it was the respective rookie seasons of Hashim Thabeet and Ahmed Haddadi. And this guy, Antonio Harvey, who had been a power forward center for the Lakers and was doing the color commentary in the broadcast. And at one point he said, you know, Haddadi is better than Thabeet. And the play-by-play guy started laughing like you just did. And Harvey said, no.
It's absolutely true.
No,
he was.
Harvey said, no, I'm not joking. Haddadi is better than Thabeet. And that was more of a commentary on Thabeet than Haddadi.
Right, yes.
He was 100% right.
He is better
than
Haddadi.
And so that is something I think we saw very, very quickly.
You can see things.
From summer league.
You can see things. Obviously, none of this is definitive, but you absolutely can see things. Javon Carter has not looked good.
Yeah, I mean, that was not the pick I would have made. I went back and looked at my list, and I had, you know, I did a top 30, and there were 7 guys I had on my list. I did not have Javon Carter on the list. He would have been pretty soon after that. I mean, I wasn't that down on him, but there were 7 guys I had on my top 30 who were drafted after Javon Carter, including 3 I had in the top 20, which was Khyree Thomas, DeAnthony Melton, and Melvin Frazier, who are all defensive-oriented wings. And so, to me, it's not the pick I would have made. And I don't think in summer league he to me he's been somewhat invisible unless you really want to watch him because he's not doing anything obviously good or obviously bad. He's just sort of blending in,
right?
And for a guy who, you know, was a 4-year college player, you know, defensive player of the year and all that, should be ready to go. That's disappointing. I'm not ready to, like, make any determination on what he's going to be going into the season. But nothing I've seen
nothing
in the summer league.
He's going to be the backup point guard this
year. I've been saying that repeatedly. Right. I had people wondering, you know, because they're at 16, who's going to get cut? Maybe it'll be Andrew Harrison because his contract's not guaranteed. And I've been telling people, Andrew Harrison is not only going to make the roster, he will be in the rotation on opening night. He's the number 2 point guard.
Right. Yes, he's the number 2 point guard. And certainly nothing, unless Javon Carter came in and just blew it up.
I mean, he's played 5 summer league games. We'll see. But I don't see, to me, he is a very, very low ceiling. And so you need him to be able to be a competent backup point guard very soon. And to me, if that doesn't happen, then, you know, obviously that pick will have been a mistake. Because I do think they're, you know, whether it's Melton or Thomas or Frazier, they're going to be guys picked after him who are going to have much better NBA careers.
The nice part about it is that by giving the full mid-level to Slo-Mo, that they...
Well, you wonder...
Put themselves in a position where they couldn't... Where they made it hard themselves to re-sign Javon Carter.
That's going
to
be interesting because, as far as I know, Carter hasn't actually signed yet. And is there going to be any... I wonder if that's understood on the front end or if there's going to be any squawking about only getting a 2-year minimum, which is what's going to have to happen. Because that has not been the norm for players picked that high in the second round at all.
Right.
So that will be unusual if he only gets that small of a contract and there's no way he can get anything else.
He can't get more.
At this point. And you wonder if part of that is the Grizzlies sort of rethinking that, given their experiences with Deonta Davis, with Roddy Zagoritz, with, you know, with some of these other contracts that they've given of that type that haven't really helped them. On the other hand, you're really glad that you have Dylan Brooks, you know, you have an option on him for a third year, right?
Right. Deonta Davis.
Yeah, I mean, the Davis thing is frustrating, and there reaches a point where you just give up on it. It could be that that point happens before, you know, whatever opening night is this season. I am not convinced it is. Yeah. I think they will give it more time than that. But I don't know if you get – if he doesn't turn the corner to some degree this season, I don't think we're having this discussion this time a year from now, right? Yeah. I do think this is the season where he needs –
got to show something.
Right. I still think he has – what's frustrating about Davis is that what he needs to do, the range of things he needs to do to be an effective backup center is fairly narrow, and he has all of the physical ability to do those things.
Right.
And he just can't, either whether it's awareness or effort or whatever it is, joy, whatever it is, it's just not there, and it's frustrating because it's so easy to see him being the backup center they need.
How about Ivan Rabb? What have you seen from him?
Rab's like the opposite of Davis. Like, I mean, I said to Jeffrey yesterday, if you could take the best qualities of both of those players and combine them into one, like you're
if
good
you got
to go.
Awareness and instinct and everything else, stick that in Deonta Davis's body.
You're good.
Yeah.
You got your backup center. Like, you're in great shape. I suspect that as currently constituted, Rab is going to pass Davis. I don't think that's what the Grizzlies want right now, but I think that's going to happen just because he's put him on the floor and he outplays
right
him,
now.
Right?
Yes.
But I still think he's got a very low ceiling on him unless he can stretch out that jump shot to 3-point range because he is just so ordinary physically for an NBA center. So ordinary.
Right. Kyle Anderson.
I think it's interesting. I mean, I enjoy having players that are sort of distinctive. I think it'll be fun to sort of watch him and try to figure out how he fits, how he doesn't fit. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. You know, I feel like if you look at their recent free agent history, in terms of their primary signing, obviously the Tyreke Evans was a good signing, but their primary signing, it's been a disaster. Last year it's been McLemore, bust. The year before that, Chandler Parsons, bust. The year before that, Brandon Wright, bust. The year before that, Vince Carter, bust in the first year of it, at least.
Right.
And so I feel like, you know, Kyle Anderson is 24 years old. There are no health issues that we know of. And he just started 67 games for a 47-win Spurs team. I feel like they're going to get more out of that than they have the last 4 primary free agent signings. To me, it's a question of how well does his peculiar game translate into a different situation, and how well they can sort of use him with the other pieces they have. They sort of feel like they will be able to put him on the floor with 4 3-point shooters. Remember when they had Tayshaun Prince, sort of a similar long, low volume, didn't have range, but crafty. When they were doing that with Tayshaun, you had Tony Allen in the rotation who couldn't shoot, and you had Zach Randolph starting at the four who couldn't shoot. And now you can put him in a situation where Marc Gasol is the 3-point shooter now. Either Jermichael Green or Jared Jackson's a 3-point shooter. Obviously, Conley's a 3-point shooter. And whether it's Dylan Brooks or Wayne Seldon, like, these aren't Ray Allen in their prime, but they're 3-point shooters, right? And so they feel like they can put him on the floor where all the other four players can shoot three and stretch the floor, and that will give him more space to operate. And they think there's untapped ability for him to do things with the ball even more than he did in San Antonio.
Where do you think they are in terms of, all right, so the West has become even more murderous than before. Like, right. That has been a problem. But I do think, like, what they've done this summer has made sense. And it doesn't make them a 50-win team, but it does seem like they will be a competent team. What they have assembled looks like a rational, competent, not bottom five team in the league to me. Where do you think they are?
Oh, I mean, I'll have a better sense of that when I go through all the rosters, you know, come October. But I feel like...
even relatively, just sort of...
I feel like they are likely in, you know, 9 to 12 range. I think they could. Things break right. They could find themselves in the playoffs. But I think they're more likely in sort of that, you know, not in the basement, but not in the playoffs. That's probably where they are. But I think they're in position to be very competitive if they stay healthy. And what I like about what they've done is they put together a team that, if they catch the right breaks, can be competitive and could be a playoff team, but they have not done anything at the expense of thinking beyond this season. And that was my big concern, right, is that they had talked up the playoffs and the 50 wins and all that so much, it was going to force them into moves to try to back it up. And they have kept an eye firmly on, it's not just about this season.
Does the 4 years for Kyle Anderson, does that clutter up the cap in any way?
That's a feature, not a bug. Right. That was the reason they did it,
right,
really, is that
he's a 24-year-old guy. Yeah. He and Jackson are the next era.
If their choice was to sign a 24-year-old wing to a 4-year deal or to sign a 30-year-old wing to a 1 or 2-year deal, and Avery Bradley or Wayne Ellington or whoever, they wanted the former. They wanted to lock up a young player at a position of scarcity, a young player they believed in, rightly or wrongly, we'll find out, at a position of scarcity for multiple years. And that number looks big, you know, it's 8.6 and it goes up to close to 10. But, you know, that's a 5% raise, and the cap's going to raise at least that much, if not more. And so it's always going to be like a low-level starter type of salary, right? And so as long as he plays up to that standard, I think it'll be fine. What I said, I think, earlier in the week was, and I wrote this, I guess, I think it's unlikely that I think the range of outcome for Anderson on this contract is actually pretty narrow. I think the deal, the money is high enough, it's never going to be a bargain.
Right.
You're not going to look up at 2 years and say, wow, what a steal we got. Right. You know, that's not going to happen. But he's so young, so healthy, plays such a critical position, and is such a high IQ basketball player that I don't think it's not going to be Ben McLemore. It's kind of going to be like, wow, we sunk all this money and this guy can't play. It's not going to be that either.
Right.
So I think it's going to be fine.
The two guard will be interesting because the two signings, Omri Caspi and Kyle Anderson, would seem to push Dylan Brooks firmly to the two, which you always thought he should be more all along.
Well, that's what the team thought.
And if he's
pretty sure.
If he's a two, Wayne Seldon is a two,
Marshawn
Brooks is a two. If Marshawn Brooks, if we're going to stipulate that he's the instant offense, does that mean that Dylan Brooks and Wayne Seldon are obviously injuries play into all this, whatever. Is one the starter and one break glass? I mean, is Dylan Brooks, then Marshawn Brooks, and then Wayne Seldon's got an uphill climb?
I mean, Dylan Brooks is going to be playing, period. And so I think it's likely Dylan Brooks is the starter. Then you have this interesting question of Marshawn Brooks versus Wayne Seldon in terms of pecking order.
Right.
And obviously they've sort of declared, we think Marshawn Brooks can be our sixth man or scorer off the bench, etc. My personal belief is they need to give Wayne Seldon every possible opportunity to earn a significant role in this team because he is younger. He has a more diverse range of skills. I think he has the potential to be, you know, if Jaren Jackson and Kyle Anderson and Dylan Brooks are now three pieces you can see beyond the Conley Gasol Grizzlies, I think Seldon could be one of those. We don't know, but he could be. And I think they should give him every opportunity because, I mean, he's been great again in the summer league.
You're right. He can do more.
People forget that, I mean, he had a little bit of a lost season because he had the hip thing, but when he finally came back and was healthy, he had a, he wasn't consistent, but he had a lot of games of double digit scoring off the bench, a lot of them. And I tend to be a believer in his talent, and so I would hope he doesn't get lost in the mix, that they would give him every opportunity to earn a significant role on the team.
Okay. Lastly, again talking to Chris Harrington, Mark made his typical stuff in Spain last year. Last year it was, I may have to reevaluate depending on how this year goes. This year it's, I'm choosing between loyalty to the city and winning. It actually strikes me, who knows? I don't make much of the Spain thing. Mark will come in here.
It's an annual ritual.
It actually strikes me that once he's made the decision to come back, and to, which he very clearly did, like he's not pitching a fit. He seems to be all in. He behaved well at the end of the year. He said nice things, and he clearly likes the coach. I would think that this is a team, it's not a team that's going to win a title, but I would think it would be a team he would like.
They've added high IQ players to play defense. Yes.
He's going to look everywhere. He's going to be happy.
And they sort of, you know, reduce the knucklehead quotient on the team, right?
Totally.
The thing, to me, the thing that people, the subtlety with all the stuff with Marc Gasol that I think people either miss or downplay or overlook is that, and we saw it when we had the little sit down that he summoned people or whatever, but I mean, I think if you read closely in the translation degree that you can, you see it even in this too. The marker he always lays down is not winning. It is trying to win.
Right.
It is process, not result. He wants to believe in process, right? And he believes if the process is right and you believe in the process, then sort of you're responsible for the result and you sort of whatever. It is not if this team is not competing for a title, I need to get out of here. That is not the marker he ever lays down. It is, are we doing things the right way? Are we trying to win every possession, every game, every whatever? And that was not the case last season. Right. That will be the case this season.
This team will do things the right way. They may not be good enough to prevail in 47 of the games, but Kyle Anderson will do things the right way. And
organizationally, for all the reasons we've sort of droned on and on about, it's different this season. They want to be good, but even if the struggles hit, the incentives are different. And so I think this season more than likely is going to be a season where there's not this sort of tug between what you're trying to accomplish and the draft and all that. It's just going to be, let's just try to be good, I think is what it's going to be.
All right, we'll talk about the rest of the league tomorrow. Chris, thank you very much. We will talk to you then.
Thanks.
That is Chris Harrington. We got to take a break. Back in a moment, Jeff Cockett Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hi, this is Lauren Choate with Choate's Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing. Joe Choate started Choate's Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing 60 years ago in 1958 with the mission to be honest, fair, and trustworthy to each customer, to do every job like it were his very own. Now his grandsons, Saul and Brian Choate, run the company with the same morals that their dad and grandfather instilled in them. To celebrate our 60th anniversary, Choate's would like to offer a $60 tune-up special to all our heating, air conditioning, and plumbing customers. We are also offering a 60-month, no-interest financing on select Carrier HVAC systems and new water heater installations starting at just $60 a month. Call 755-4797 today to take advantage of our 60th anniversary specials. And remember, Choate's, let our family serve your family.
If you suffer from ED and you've seen your doctor about the little blue pill, you know it can be expensive, and seeing the doctor and waiting at the pharmacy can be a hassle. What if I told you that a certain little blue pill just came off patent December 11th, and that same active ingredient that's in the little blue pill is now available in generic form, available to you for just $30 for a month's supply? That's a big discount. No more getting ripped off by the big pharma companies. With 4hims.com, you can bypass the doctor's office, pharmacy visit, and save huge money on your prescription ED meds. Just go to 4hims.com/fresh. Consult with a licensed physician, and following their confidential medical review, you can have the proper prescription delivered directly to your door for a fraction of the price. And today, while supplies last, you can get started with a trial month for just $5. That's right, $5. Here's what you do. Just go to 4hims.com, forhims.com/fresh today, and get started for just $5 while supplies last. Visit 4hims.com/fresh right now. 4hims.com/fresh.
See website for full details. Not all services through the Hims platform are available in all 50 states.
It's internet, but not just any internet. It's the fastest speeds that will blow you away, internet. It's Wi-Fi that lets you stream on any device throughout your home, internet.
Even the laundry room?
Yep, even the laundry room. It's, wait, I can get fast speeds and up to 5 lines of talk and text included with this internet? Hello, savings. It's internet and mobile from Xfinity. Internet that makes your life simple, easy, awesome.
See how you can get Xfinity Mobile included with your internet. Get started with Xfinity Internet for $19.99 a month for 12 months with a 1-year agreement. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires EcoBill paperless billing and auto pay. Your monthly charge increases by $5. Offer ends 7/21/18. Restrictions apply. Limited to performance starter 25 megabits per second internet for new customers. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After agreement, regular rates apply.
To me, the most important word in the world is dignity. There are certain God-given rights to be fed, to have shelter, medicine, and clothing. When many of our clients come to us, they face the great risk of losing much of what they have. In some cases, losing everything. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. In one instant, an accident, a natural disaster, or the intentional acts of others can threaten our dignity. Whether it's the loss of a paycheck, paying medical bills, enduring a life of pain and suffering, or a claim with your own insurance company, or a business dispute, and you can't afford to pay a lawyer by the hour, your dignity hangs in the balance. You only pay us if we recover for you. Let my firm fight for you, your family, and your dignity. Call us for a free consultation. Dial pound law on your cell phone. That's pound 529. Morgan & Morgan, for the people.com.
92.9 FM, 680 AM, and 92.9 ESPN.com. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
I get to focus on the things that I have not focused on, and one of those is going to Sleepy Z's to pick out my new mattress. Still have not picked out my new mattress from Sleepy Z's, which is pretty much a crime, because Sleepy Z's has won the Commercial Appeal's Memphis Most Best Mattress Store 3 years in a row, going for 4 now. By the way, you can still vote. Did you know this? You can still vote. Go to memphismost.com, go under shopping, then Best Mattress Store, and then click Sleepy ZZZ's by Michael Zellner. You can vote up through July 20th. Honestly, you can even vote once a day up through July 20th, and you should do it because it's not some big box mattress store. It is a Michael Zellner grew up here. Dad was a podiatrist here. His was dedicated to making sure people had comfort as they walked around their feet. And now Michael, people want him to be comfortable as they sleep. And so he created this mattress store where you can get all the best mattresses, sort of iComfort, Simmons Beautyrest Black, all the best mattresses for roughly 50% off, 50 to 80% off, 50 to 80% off. Buying from a local guy at lower prices, same fabulous stuff. And by the way, you can vote for him at the Commercial Appeal. Sleepy Z's located 2790 Kirby Winton Road at the corner of Summer Avenue next to Hollywood Feed. And we sell tools. So go see them and vote, vote, vote. All right, some other stuff happened while we were away. Thanks for Chris Harrington for coming in here. I my general view, and tell me this, Jeffrey.
Okay.
How are people feeling? Because this is the part I've missed as I've been away.
Okay.
How are people feeling about the Grizzlies?
I think cautiously optimistic, because I think there seems to be this idea of, it feels like for so long there's never really been a plan. Like, it just feels like it's always just kind of been like throwing darts at a dartboard, the metaphor that you like so much. But now it feels like they are actually, like, they've embraced an identity. They're trying to make moves that go towards that identity, and it's an identity that people are more familiar with. And so it seems like people are at least, I'm not saying like they're thrilled about it, but it seems like people at least like acknowledge it, and they think, okay, well, at least this makes sense.
Do you believe they've come around on Jaren Jackson? In other words, if right now Jaren Jackson, we know that he was booed. He was booed half-heartedly at FedEx Forum, and he was booed vigorously at the Grizzlies watch party. Are people now, it is weird, like he had that big game in the opening game, and mm-hmm. that seemed to set a different tone.
Correct.
That even though every game since he's been kind of what we expected, not monster games. Did that instantly change the perception? Is Memphis now on the Jaren Jackson bandwagon? That sort of happens anyway when you talk yourself
when
into
he's your
it.
Guy.
When he's your guy. How are people feeling about?
So I think there's more people, because I felt like amongst Jaren Jackson there were three camps to begin with. I felt like there was the camp that really believed in him, which was a smaller camp.
That was a little camp. It was right. A tiny little, as a, like two people gathered around a campfire.
Right, and yeah. Then there was the anyone but Jaren Jackson camp.
That was a big camp. Big
and
camp.
Then there was this other camp in the middle that were just like, were kind of like resigned to the fact that that's who it was just going to be. Like, it just felt like
and
that
now
was.
Now are the camps.
And so now I think the people that were in the middle just kind of like, okay, I think they've all started to buy in. And obviously the people that were...
believers are
right,
still believers.
The believers feel like they've already been...
vindicated.
Exactly. And then I felt like a large portion of people fell into that middle of kind of like...
How about the anybody buts? I think some of them have moved into the middle camp.
They got silenced early, and so then they did the whole...
There's still some skepticism out there.
They did the whole pump the brakes.
They're hiding in the weeds.
They're the pump the brakes people, and they're also the people that are very quick to point out...
If he stinks, they'll be back quickly.
And they're the ones that point out, well, he's shooting 25% from two.
Well, that is true. So to me, what's interesting is, you know, we got two big teams here.
Yes.
Obviously, we got the football team, too, and I cannot wait for football to crank up in all of its glory.
You and me both, buddy.
Counting the days, baby. In all of it. Like, I'm counting the days for the Tigers to get started.
Yep.
I'm counting the days for SEC football to get started. And I'm counting the days for pro footballs to get started. Right now, the only, like, the football stories you have are the awful LeSean McCoy story,
mm-hmm.
right? And speaking of Buffalo Bills and former Buffalo Bills, now you've got a Marcel Darius story. See mm-hmm. this one?
Yep, not good.
Woman is suing Marcel Darius for, now, this is not a criminal proceeding. This is purely a civil proceeding.
Right.
For having sex with her while she was unconscious or drunk or passed out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And giving her an STD in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get, like, this is that time.
Not a great look.
When we're getting the non-football football stories, mm-hmm. which is the...
This is when pro football talk used to be at its finest.
Which is the absolute worst. So anyway, we have Memphis Tiger football to look forward to, which we have not, and all of those things to look forward to. But fundamentally, there are two big teams in this city.
Mm-hmm.
The Tigers and the Grizzlies, right? In the basketball and basketball. And they have been so different in their public approaches. One is all pizzazz, is all winning national championships, is all Instagram, is all
the hype train
excitement.
Is rolling.
The hype train is absolutely
full steam ahead.
Full steam ahead. And one is literally the opposite. In terms of summer, what they've done in the summer, what they've done this summer is much quieter than what they've done in each of the last two summers. When they went out and signed, like last summer was Tyreek and Ben mm-hmm. McLemore. The summer before was David Fizdale
mm-hmm.
and Chandler Parsons.
And like then paying that, Mike.
Like, what?
And paying Mike.
Yeah. And so, yeah, big stuff those summers. This summer is the opposite. Everything, I've said this a million times now, everything it feels like is understated and yet perhaps sensible. Is it possible? Because, again, I'm not trying to pit them against each other.
Sure.
At all. I support them both. Is it possible that when we look back, and this is purely an expectations thing, that when we look back at this year in basketball, when both seasons are over, we will say that the Memphis Grizzlies exceeded expectations and the Memphis Tigers didn't quite meet expectations?
Yes, because I think the Grizzlies have taken a page out of my playbook, which is get those expectations down near the bottom.
What are right now the expectations? We know their expectations formally are winning 50
Correct.
Games.
And I think most people with rational like expectations would say if this team exceeds 40 wins, that's probably
superb.
Exactly.
I think most people's expectations are
35
28 to 32 wins. And I think they have a very good chance of exceeding that. I could easily see them getting 38 wins or 42 wins or 41 wins. Or honestly, it looks like a quintessential 500 team to me. Now, yes, they play in the West, and so that's different. But it looks like a quintessential 500 if they stay healthy.
Yes.
Why wouldn't they win half their games?
No, I think that's exactly what they are. I think Chris has nailed it. This is the first time that, the first time coming into the year where I feel like the expectations for the Grizzlies are just kind of meh. They're not, I don't think they're going to be bad. I don't think they're going to be like, obviously last year I think was somewhat of an outlier just because of injury. But I just feel like when you look at this roster, it's a very average roster. And that's about a 500 basketball team.
Yeah, it's solid, a solid, competent, efficient roster. And it's now in the process, they're again, we're stipulating good health. You would like to see the future develop, right?
Sure. You'd like to see Dylan Brooks.
You'd like to see, let's be honest, it's Dylan Brooks, it's Jaren Jackson, and it's Kyle Anderson, the sort of the main pieces.
And if you got Wayne Seldon.
And if you could add possibly Wayne Seldon to that group, I'm not going to put Deontay. I'm not even going to hope for Deontay. And I don't mean to cross him off too early, but
I'm fine.
I didn't love Javon Carter when the pick happened. Yep. And so I'm not going to right now, until he proves something, be including him in that group. But if you could get those three and Wayne Seldon as part of a season that is competent, I think you feel pretty good coming out of the year. In terms of the Memphis, here's the weird thing about the Memphis Tiger basketball program is so much of how people feel going into next year will be about recruiting.
100%.
And if recruiting is all, like if they get Wiseman, if they get
Watford
and they get, you know, whatever, and we already know they have Malcolm Dandridge, what it gets some other collection. It almost doesn't matter if they win. I mean, I say this, you don't want to win 14 games, but they can miss the NIT, get those players, and no one will give a flip.
1,000%.
At all.
At all.
It's a sliding scale, though. If they miss out on Wiseman, get the others, well, then you want the win total to be a little better, or then you want a little more out of Lomax and Tyler Harris or whatever.
Like, sure.
The greater the recruiting class, the less this particular season matters. The more modest the recruiting class, the more this season matters, because then you want to see the promise coming from the players themselves. It is amazing to me. It's a reminder how much sports is, and maybe it's life. I honestly think it's life.
Expectations?
It's just all expectations, man.
1,000%. My favorite, Bo Burnham, I love this. He's a comedian, and he talks about relationships. And the whole song, he wrote an entire song about lowering your expectations.
Let's hear it.
Give me 2 minutes, I'll
find
it.
Give me 2 minutes to hear it. But I think it's true. It's true about football teams. It's true about basketball teams. Honestly, it's true about, like, cities. When I came to Memphis, the expectations for what a city could do were so low here. Like, everyone said, oh, the quintessential Memphis thing is the pyramid, which was poorly done, seats too small, an inclinator that never worked. And then it was the convention center, which was over budget, took too long, whatever. And so when you built something like AutoZone Park, it wasn't just that independently AutoZone Park was beautiful. It was that, oh my God, Memphis did this. Memphis had spent a decade civically lowering expectations and then soared past them,
yep,
which is why I think people feel good about it. But if you think about, like, the key to seeing a movie, there's very few movies that you can see that everyone tell you, if you're one of the, like, you go 4 weeks into the run,
yep,
and everybody has told you it is great.
Yep.
What movie stands up to "it is great" after everyone has told you for four straight weeks it is great? Very few movies.
Goodwill Hunting. That was it.
Maybe Goodwill Hunting. Very few movies can stand up to that. What you want to do is you want to go the first night, be not know anything that happens,
yep,
and be totally surprised by the movie. Or even better, you want people to tell you, I think it's kind of overrated. I went to see it, blah, blah, blah. And then you go in and you have low expectations, you're like, yeah, that's pretty good.
Superman Returns.
That's pretty good. I think meals are the same way.
Yep.
If you go to a restaurant and you expect...
It's fine. It's five.
If you expect a five, you go to a five-star restaurant and it's a four-star meal, you're like... I didn't get what I paid for.
I don't know, man. And you leave disappointed.
But if you go into some just place by the side of the road, the highway, and you have a pretty good burger, you're like, darn, that's impressive. Life is all about expectations. I really do believe that. Life is all about expectations. Have we achieved the song?
Oh, yeah.
All right, this is what... tell me what this is.
So this is my... he's a comedian. His name's Bo Burnham. He's a very clever guy. And the song is called Lower Your Expectations.
Here is your lesson for today, ladies and gentlemen. I haven't even heard it yet. Go ahead.
We all want love. How many single ladies out there looking for love tonight? Yeah, woo that sadness out.
Some more where that came from.
Ladies, I know what you want. 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 You want a guy that's sweet, a guy that's tough, a feminist who likes to pay for stuff, the kind of guy that gets along with your friends without being attracted to any of them. A good boy, a bad boy, a good bad boy, a half good, half bad, half boy. Loves your brother sensitive but not weekend. Is a great lover, calls your mother on the weekend. Now you might think that this guy only exists in your mind, but guess what? You're right. If you want love, lower your expectations a few, because Prince Charming would never settle for you. If you want love, just pick...
Blue there. We got a little blue there. I think we got the point, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we got on that note. Did that sneak through?
Nope.
We caught it.
Yep.
We caught it.
I'm getting better at my job.
If you if he's got, it said basically, if he's got a thing for feet, just say F it. And Jeffrey happily dumped that. So we're going to escape and take a break. We'll be back in a moment. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's time to get your tickets to the 21st annual Big Brothers Big Sisters Sports Ball Tennis Shoe Gala. July 28th at 7 p.m. at Nike at East Shelby Drive, Memphis. Hosted by Jeff Calkins and Jeffrey Wright. With a live auction, interactive games, jousting, mock casino gaming, food and drinks for a great cause.
It's going to be one big party.
Let's party. Glad to have you party animals in the house.
See and be seen while you support Big Brothers Big Sisters. More in the events section now at 92.9ESPN.com.
It's been 10 long years, but championship boxing is finally set to make its return to Memphis in FedEx Forum on Saturday, July 21st. It's the Big Payback, a 10-fight extravaganza presented by Memphis native Lank the King and Lank Promotions in association with Affiliation Manage. And what's a night of championship boxing without Floyd Money Mayweather? He'll be in attendance July 21st at FedEx Forum as 7-time world champion and future Hall of Famer DeMarcus Chop Chop Corley takes on former WBA lightweight champion Vivian Harris in the main event, a 12-round rematch for the ABF world title.
The Big Payback Championship Boxing Fight is coming to the FedEx Forum Saturday night, July 21st. Lank the King of Lank Promotions will throw the biggest after party after the fight at the Memphis Cook Convention Center.
Floyd Money Mayweather, the Money Team, July 21st. Lank the King fight after party. The Convention Center in Memphis, Tennessee. Floyd Money Mayweather, the Money Team.
For tickets or VIP booths, visit LankTheKing.com or call 901-779-0389.
Divorce is a serious thing. To the extent that you can save your marriage, you should. No one knows that better than the attorneys at Cordell & Cordell.
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
As many of you know, we represent men in domestic relations cases. And most of our clients are captive to a process they didn't choose. If they could have, they would have saved their marriage. But their wives told them they want out. Suddenly at issue are the assets they've been a lifetime accumulating. What's more important, their role in their children's lives. If you're confronted with a marriage you can't save, we hope that you'll consider Cordell & Cordell.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Memphis attorneys. A partner men can count on. 901-362-3666. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Cordell & Cordell, 6000 Poplar Avenue, Suite 225, Memphis, Tennessee, 38119.
Memphis is becoming a great bike town, but that won't do
do you much good unless you have a great bike. So do what I've done and head on down to All About Bikes, a family-owned and operated bike store on Mendenhall. They've got the largest selection of all bikes. It includes kids' bikes, mountain bikes, hybrids. And it's not one of those places that'll make you feel silly if you don't want to spend thousands of dollars. They have 10 different brands with bikes starting at $199 for adults and $99 for kids. Not only that, they've got 12 months interest-free financing for qualified buyers. So get out there and start pedaling. Get yourself to All About Bikes. And if you mention you heard about it on the Jeff Calkins Show, you'll get 10% off.
92.9 FM, 680 AM, and 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
I talked earlier about the exodus from the commercial appeal. I was part of that early exodus, and one of the great things about being part of that early exodus is now I am not hampered from talking about the local businesses that I use all the time. One of them is Cooper Systems. My computer, some of you know, I am not a computer genius. I'm not computer savvy. When my computer goes wrong, I just scream and look helpless and say, what do I do now? And if I take it to a big box store, they say, oh, here, we'll give you a ticket and we'll send it back to you in 6 months because they're going to send it off to wherever to have it fixed. If you go to Cooper Systems, whatever the problem is, data recovery, cracked screen, whatever the problem is, all those nasty viruses, you give it to Lee and Lauren Cooper, and they say, oh, we'll take that, and they'll fix it, and they'll hand it back to you. And it's all done right here in Memphis by their technicians in Memphis, and you're up and going again without having to spend money on a new computer. However, if you do want a new computer, then go to Cooper Systems and say, you know, I'd like a new computer. And you know what they'll do? They will sell you a new computer, all the same brands that you can get anywhere else, Apple, Dell, Hewlett-Packard, Toshiba, Lenovo, all of them, and they will sell you those exact same computers for dramatically less than you will pay at a big box store. So what a pleasure it is to be able to tell you all that, to be able to tell you that when I have computer issues, I go to Cooper Systems. When you have computer issues, you should go to Cooper Systems. Call Liam Lauren Cooper, 360-9679. That is 360-9679. Or stop in and visit him, 2744 Mount Moriah in the Mount Moriah Office Park. Let's wrap this baby up.
Now, it's the closing argument.
So, I saw this story today saying that the epicenter of sports for the next decade is going to be Boston.
Okay.
Agree or disagree? And the theory is...
The Pats will always be the Pats.
Pats will always be great.
The Red Sox are freaking awesome.
The Red Sox are awesome. The Celtics are on the verge of awesome, and the Bruins are pretty darn awesome.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Let me give you some other ones, though,
right.
For example.
L.A.
They got LeBron. They're back to being L.A., right?
The Rams are going to be really good.
Here's one. For the next decade, the Rams will win more games than the Patriots.
Say yes, because they definitely have their quarterback situation filled
out. Hockey nobody cares about, so Kings, Bruins, sure. Who cares? The Bruins actually have better, more young players. And then Red Sox, Dodgers.
I have more faith in the Red Sox than I do the Dodgers.
I do, too. I have more faith in the Red Sox, Dodgers. But the big one is, I'm not sure that in the two that matter, in basketball and football, Lakers, whose future would you rather have? Rams, honestly, it's Rams, Chargers, Lakers, or Celtics, Pats.
I'm going to take L.A. only because I really do, like...
The Pats have to end at some point!
And to me, it feels more and more likely that Belichick is just at some... Like, Belichick reminds me of the guy that at some point, just unannounced, he's just going to be done.
And it's going to be...
The greatest day ever?
Yes, but... I'll let's even concede it's two more years. Let's concede they got two more years.
Sure.
Which is, I think, generous at this point. Do you think they got more than two more years? When Brady goes, the whole thing's going downhill. Give me the Rams for wins. And I actually, L.A., Boston, like Boston has a great accumulation of talent.
Yes.
They have no player who right now fits in who you would call one of the top five players in the league.
Agreed.
And maybe not a player who... fits in the top 10 player. Like, not yet. I mean, Tatum's going to look really good. And they got some really good players. But you don't win with really good players. Yeah. You win with true superstars.
I mean, to me, they're going to test the theory of, do you have to have a top 5 player? Do you have to have a top 5 player to be a
legitimate player? Are we missing anyone else?
I mean, I guess Kyrie...
No, are we missing any other city? The Bay Area? epicenter. The Warriors are the epicenter of the NBA right now.
I'm not buying in on...
Are you in on
I'm
the
not
49ers?
Buying on the 49ers yet.
And obviously not the Giants.
Nope.
Dallas,
somebody
Dallas
out,
doesn't seem to be an epicenter right now, do they?
No.
Of anything.
Somebody made the argument, I believe it was Ryan Glassby, made the argument for Milwaukee, but he's including Green Bay in Milwaukee.
Yeah, and the Bucks, and there's a limit.
Look, the Brewers are freaking good.
I like the talent, but it's just so hard in a small market. Boston, I mean, the Chicago, I mean, is just mediocrity.
No.
Stuck in mediocrity. It is, I do believe, either Boston or L.A. I like the way the Boston has done it more. I have greater respect for the way Boston has done it. Like, I hate them.
It's more team building.
But they built them. Like,
yeah.
Yes, I have greater respect. It pains me to say that. But it's either Boston or L.A., and I might give a slight nod to L.A. Go ahead, what's next?
Here's the bite of the day.
Well, Jeff, my favorite human being alive, The Rock, went on Stephen Colbert last night, and he told a wonderful story of one of the very first times he was wrestling, and his grandmother went to go see him for the very first time. So let's take a listen.
When my grandfather first started learning how to be a professional wrestler, he never told my grandmother. So he never smartened her up. So as far as she knew, it was real, and there was going to be a fight. He has the match, and the match starts, and he, of course, starts getting beat up at some point. And she freaks out. She jumps in the ring. I swear to God. She jumps in the ring, takes her clogs off, and starts beating his ass in the ring. Yes.
The opponent.
The opponent.
The opponent.
Yes.
Wait, this is his father?
His
grandfather also wrestled?
Correct. So the Grock is from like a three-generation family. Yeah. Like his grandfather wrestled, his father wrestled, he wrestled, and now like his cousins are wrestling. Supposedly his daughter wants to get into the business. So when his grandfather was wrestling in a huge match, His wife did not know.
Are we allowed to tell people it's fake? There are kids home from school. We're
it's. I don't think
we're
that
letting the cat out of the bag.
I don't think it's like another
another thing.
Yes.
Like another fiction that
I think
voiced on children.
Right.
So they can be inevitably disappointed and crushed someday.
Yeah, I think everyone
talk about raising your expectations.
Yes, exactly.
Like we think that other thing we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That raises expectations,
yes,
which will be crushed. Go ahead.
Here's what's coming up next.
This is coming up next on Jason and John. As they mentioned, Thad Young will join the program at 11:25. Eric Musselman at 12:45. Jeff at 1:25. Your boy will be sitting in the chair for four straight hours. Join me on the Eric Hasseltine Show when Eric joins live from Las Vegas.
This is a marathon. This is like one of these dance marathons Jeffrey's going to be doing.
Yes. I will also be hosting the Gary Parrish Show. GP is going to join me live from Peach Jam. Jeff will join me at 5. John will join me at 5:25.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. It is great to be back. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. But for now, our work here is done.
Download the official 92.9 FM ESPN app, the radio.com app. Listen anytime, anywhere, and favorite us today. WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS, Memphis's sports station.
Hey, this is Gary Parrish reminding you about Danny Morrison Roofing Professionals. They're a local, family-owned and operated business serving the Mid-South's residential and commercial roofing needs since 2010. And at this point, you should know, Danny Morrison Roofing is known as the home of the free roof. Danny's team has built a reputation for timely and professional roof repair and roof replacement with attention to detail, and they have the ability to work with insurance companies to make sure customers who qualify for a new roof can get one with no out-of-pocket cost. Most roofing jobs, they can be done in just one day. And if for any reason you're not completely happy with your roof, Danny and his team will ensure your complete satisfaction. You want a free roofing estimate? You can get that right now. Just call Danny at 901-870-0186. That's 901-870-0186. Or visit him on the web at morrisonroofing.net. That's Danny Morrison Roofing, a proud supporter of the University of Memphis Athletic Department. Check him out on the web, morrisonroofing.net. That's morrisonroofing.net.
City Auto makes it easy to find the right vehicle to meet your family's needs. With over 1,000 quality pre-owned vehicles from 35 different makes in one convenient location, you're sure to find the vehicle you're looking for, whether you're shopping online or in person. And with our competitive no-haggle pricing, you're sure to get a great deal, saving you both time and money. So if you're looking for an easier, more efficient way to purchase your next vehicle, think City Auto or cityauto.com. Welcome to City Auto, Elmore Road off Covington Pike. like Memphis.
It's the summer of 1,000 engagements at Robert Irwin Jewelers. And Howie, can people really buy diamonds online?
Of course they can, but I'm here to tell you, it is really tough. Diamonds are like snowflakes, and no two diamonds are alike. Some diamonds have the same exact lab grade, but what you're going to find out when you see them is that one is going to sparkle more than the other depending on how it's cut and where the inclusions are located. Only 5 to 10% of the diamonds I see on a yearly basis make it into a Robert Irwin Jewelers store, because I want to show bigger and brighter diamonds for you. Come see what I'm talking about. Four convenient locations, Robert Irwin Jewelers.
This weather break is brought to you by Audubon Indoor Speedway and Events, where every day the temperature is a cool 74 degrees with low humidity and not a cloud in sight. So while everyone else is simply sitting around in their own sweat, you can be moving around fast in an Italian-made electric pro car that can reach speeds up to 50 miles per hour. On Monday through Thursday, you can get one free race for every two races you buy. So while everyone else is sitting and sweating, you're moving and chilling or just thrilling. Audubon Indoor Speedway and Events. Fast, fun, cool.
Whether you want to make a lot more money or even just a little extra each month, Papa John's has opportunities available for you to do just that. Papa John's is hiring full-time assistants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.